Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Many of you would have been watching these videos and taking for a walk down the same area which I've shown you before. And you can see today with the snow what it's like. This is the path which has been cleaned, so we have a clear indication of exactly how high this is, the snow. Let me put my hand here to try to give you an idea of how high it is. I don't know if that's a clear indication or not, but it's about 16 inches or so. There's one of the cars which is almost completely covered. These were the trees which you saw in the earlier videos, especially the videos and the pictures, especially the fall colors. If you see now between these two bushes, which are like a gateway, if you look out there, that white sort of lump you see is what were absolutely bright red berries and blood red leaves of these trees. All of these now have been covered and completely buried with the snow. But interestingly, as you can see here, some of the berries are still there. And these are what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps, and they stay through the winter for the birds when they return. As I was taking this video, unfortunately, I mean, there's only that much you can do with a phone camera. I saw a hawk take down a bird. This is the reality of nature, where human emotions and so on don't come into it. Someone dies so that somebody else can live. The hawk needs to eat, and the bird is the food. And it's amazing how clear that whole picture was, because I'm looking at it now against this background of absolutely white. I would have liked to walk through this, but I'm not wearing the right shoes, so I'm not going to do that. But I thought, let me just show you the beauty of what I'm witnessing here. Now, if you see here, these two trees, again from the fall color videos and photographs, you remember these two trees. One becomes very orange, the other one is still yellow. And today they are the same, with the snow clinging to their branches. This whole scene on the deck is very interesting. On the top of the tables, it's like a whole cake of white. And the chairs have cushions. Literally, they're shaped like cushions. Now, obviously, you can't go sit in them, but that's how it is. And all that stuff which is on the trees, which looks like cotton candy, cotton wool, is all snow which is stuck to the trees. We haven't come to the, we're still not in the thaw that is promised in the next day or two. So let us see what happens when the temperature changes. I'm sorry, the rest of it has to be done inside, because I found my fingers losing company with me. And my fingers were no longer my own, so I decided to come back inside. The funny thing seems to be that, I don't know if this happens with all phones. Some of you might like to test it out, but with my phone, with the OnePlus 7, it doesn't respond, the screen doesn't respond if I'm wearing gloves. So if I'm wearing leather gloves or any other kind of gloves,
The screen doesn't respond. I have to touch it. I must touch it with my finger, with my own skin. I found that quite interesting and irritating. My brothers and sisters, the reason I am so fascinated by these changes in the weather in this part of the world, in Northeast United States, in New England, you get four clear seasons. You get the spring, the summer, the autumn, which they call the fall, and the winter. Four very clear seasons with very clear differences in everything, in obviously in the weather, in terms of temperature and so on, but also with the weather, because of the weather, the whole topography of the land changes, the colors change, the flora and fauna changes, what you see there changes. And it's very, very fascinating to see how the earth changes. Yuhyi al-ardha ba'da mawtiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, how we bring the earth alive after it dies. There are two places which I have seen this very clearly. One is here, which is in the spring after this winter is over, when everything looks completely dead, and then you see those absolutely dry, dead branches of the trees sprouting beautiful green shoots, and the birds coming back, and grass coming out of land which is otherwise dead. And the other place is in South India, in Tirunelveli district in Tamil Nadu, after the summer when the rain comes. I've seen the earth in the summer there. It's so parched, and it's so hot, and it's so harsh, the climate in the summer. The temperatures are literally, going there is like walking in front of a fire. And you find then the earth which is baked solid and which is cracked, which splits because of the heat. The earth then comes alive again. And you see everything, everywhere you look, is green, there's water in all the, or any depression that will hold water has water. And a lot of them have water lilies. I mean, these are water lilies which, again, the bulbs remain intact in the solidified hard rock, hard slush after it's all dried out. And then when the water comes again, they come alive again. SubhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us his signs so that we understand from them, and we understand that life is a cycle, that life begins and it matures over time, it grows and then it ends. And the sensible and wise person is the one who is prepared for that, who's prepared for that. We get very confused and very conscious of and very head up with what is happening around the world and in society, and this is happening and that is right and that is wrong and so on and so forth, and all of that is well. One should be concerned. I'm not against being concerned. But ultimately, it's all about one, and that one is yourself and myself. We will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We will be questioned only about what we did or chose not to do. We will not be questioned about what happened to the world. We will not be asked what happened. We will be asked, what did you do? And that is something that is very important for us to always keep in mind. Many times we have this question where somebody says, I'm only one person. What difference can I make? And I remind myself, and I remind that person, that Nuh alayhi salam was only one person. Ibrahim alayhi salam was only one person. Musa alayhi salam was only one person. Isa alayhi salam was only one person. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was only one person. Everything begins with one person. And that person is the one that you are looking at in the mirror. Everything begins with that. And the problem is that people don't understand that. People want others to do what they should be doing themselves. How many times have you heard this? That people say, you know, this is what I think you should do. Hamare hadaban, sahab, aapko ye karna chahiye. Meko nahi karna chahiye, aapko karna chahiye. And this is the key, when the penny drops and we understand this, that it's not about somebody else, it's about me. And as long as I am not willing to get up and do what I need to do, no one in the world can change my fate. No one in the world can change my destiny. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed for us certain things and He fixed for us certain things. These seasons remind us of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed the time for winter to come, and then winter will come and snow will fall, and depending on which part of the world you are in, you may get snow, you may not get snow, but winter will come, and then summer will come, and then there will be rain, and there will not be rain, and so on and so forth. All of these seasons, they remind us of the fact that there are certain things in our life over which we have no control, over which we have, all we can do is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it when it comes. And if what comes is painful, then we have sabr and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help in dealing with it. That's it. Other than that, we have nothing that we can do with it. But Allah gave us complete and total control over whether we want to go into Jannah or not. Allah gave us total control over what level of Jannah we want to go into. Allah gave us total control about what we want in this Jannah. Now, our whole education and our socialization, everything else takes our attention away from things which are actually in our control and gets us to focus on things which are really not in our control. So we want to control the weather, we want to control how much we earn, but how we earn is in our control. We don't look at that. We look at how much can I earn. The point is, no matter how much you earn, whether it is less or more, if you are earning haram, you will be punished. If you are earning halal, you will be rewarded. It's as simple as that. What is written for you is written for you in terms of quantity. What is in your control is how you get it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made interest-based dealings haram, and whether it is 1% or whether it is 1000%, it is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made telling lies haram, whether it is one lie or 1000 lies, it is haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made what Allah made haram is for our benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited things which are intrinsically harmful and evil. And if we indulge in them, we harm ourselves. Yet, we don't want to understand that, because our whole education and socialization is driven by shaitan, which tells us to focus on things which are not in our control. So we look at net worth, we look at how much I am earning, we look at how much somebody else is earning. We define ourselves in terms of possessions instead of in terms of character. We define ourselves in terms of what we own, all of which is cost, instead of what we give, all of which is reward. That's why this whole system has to change. This whole system is so evil and miserable. The system must change, and that change has to come from me. It has to come from you, because the only person who can make a difference is that one individual. My brothers and sisters, I've mentioned the story of Lauren Isley so many times, but it's still worth telling again. Lauren Isley, the poet and the writer, he says that he was holidaying in a beach resort, and one day there was a huge storm in the night, and in the morning he went for a walk on the beach, and he said the whole beach was littered with all kinds of debris from the sea. And he said, I saw in the debris, there were literally thousands of starfish which were scattered all over the beach. He said, as I continued to walk along the beach, I saw in the distance somebody who appeared to be doing a sort of dance. You know, this person would bend down, pick up something from the sand and would throw that thing into the sea. So it looked like some kind of a dance this way. And Lauren Isley said, when I got up there, I saw it was a little boy, and he was picking up starfish from the sand and he was throwing them into the sea. Lauren Isley said, I looked at this boy and I thought, what a strange thing. So I asked him, I said, what are you doing? The boy said he had a starfish in his hand. He said, I am picking these up and throwing them into the water because they can't move on the land, and when the sun comes out and they dry out, they will die. So I'm throwing them back into the sea so that they can live. Lauren Isley said, I laughed at him. I laughed in his face. I told him, I said, look, turn around. Look behind you. Look at this beach. Can you even count the number of starfish that are there on this beach? There are millions of starfish on this beach. He said, the same thing is, think about now the number of the millions of square miles of beach that there is in the world, all the land which is bordered by the ocean. Think about the number of storms. Think about how many millions and trillions of starfish are thrown on those beaches. What happens to them? He says, you are one little kid. You are one little boy. What difference can you make? You're one little kid. What difference can you make? Lauren Isley said, this kid looked at me. He looked at the starfish in his hand. He threw it into the sea. And he said it made a difference to that one. Not like they said, I walked away. I walked for a while. And he said, then I came back to where this boy was. And he and I threw starfish into the sea for a long time. My brothers and sisters, I remind you of myself. Forget everybody else. Look at yourself. And say, what difference do I want to make in this life? What difference do I want to make in this life? I'm reminded of something which one of my very dear friends and mentors and one of my bosses, Mr. Ahmadullah, Khaja Ahmadullah, he said to me many decades ago, I think almost about maybe 35 years or more ago, in the tea gardens, he was the general manager, I was an assistant manager, I had just joined. And he said to me one day, he said, you know, make sure that you make a difference in life. He said, because think about this. He said, for this plant to grow, if you want this plant to grow well, what do you need to put? I said, manure. He said, manure. He said, that's right. Manure. What's manure? Manure is cow dung, right? And whatever, the derivatives of it. So he said, think about that. He said, even cow dung makes a difference. And if you live in this world and you die without making a difference, then you are worse than that cow dung. You are worse than manure. Because even manure makes a difference. And if you just live and die without making a difference, you are worse than the manure. I remind myself anew, let us not be worse than manure. Let us be at least as good as manure. Let us live and die so that others will flower and fruit. And that will be our legacy. Inshallah, Mustaan, that will be our sadaqatul jariyah long after we are born. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.